I maim without killing. I break hearts and I ruin lives. I'm cruel and malicious, and I get stronger the older that I get. The more that people quote me, the more they believe what I say. I flourish at every level of society. My victims, they're helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and I have no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. I topple governments. I ruin marriages. I destroy careers. I cause heartache and many sleepless nights. I spawn suspicion. I generate grief. I make innocent people cry into their pillows at night. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. Brethren, the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is not true. Our words and the things that we say can cause great and lasting damage on individuals. As the passage was just read for us that talked about the tongue and calls it an unruly evil and a world of iniquity, and that there's deadly poison that can come off of the tongue, we realize that great things can be done with the tongue, but we also realize that horrible and hurtful things are often done with the tongue. And there are many different types of sin that we can commit with the words that come out of our mouth. And one of those things is gossip. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And so as we begin to talk about this topic of gossip, I believe, first of all, we ought to define what exactly gossip is. And so what is gossip? If you look up the word gossip in the dictionary, you'll receive this definition: casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. And then also, chiefly derogatory, a person who likes talking about other people's lives. And that term, you call someone who gossips a gossip. A person who is busy or talks about other people's lives. And so that is the definition from the dictionary. Casual or unconstrained conversation about other people. And a lot of times that conversation involves things that you don't know for a fact are true. But I would also suggest and remind you that even if you know that the facts are true, it's still gossip if it's spoken in the wrong way, and we'll talk about that. As we think about the word gossip in the Bible, there are four words that are used in the scriptures that might give us some insight into the nature of what gossip really is. The first word is, actually there are two words here, talebearer and whisperer, sort of go along together. A talebearer and a whisperer. I put those two together because they're actually the same word. It's just translated differently in different scriptures. Proverbs 11 and verse 13 tells us, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So a talebearer, another word for a gossiper, is one who likes to reveal secrets. The one you know, you never go to this person and reveal anything to them because you know that they cannot keep that to themselves. And the term whisperer implies that these secrets are revealed in secret. It's whispered. It's not spoken out in the open. It's done so in a secret way, but the secrets are revealed in whispers to one another. Another word that comes to mind that is often used is the word backbiter. Backbiter. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Paul wrote, "For I fear lest when I come I shall find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. Literally, that word backbiting is talking about one who speaks behind the back. One who says things about another that are uncomplimentary and not good. And they do not have the courage or the honesty to speak to that individual to their face. And so they speak about that individual behind their back. It brings with it the idea of someone speaking behind the back of another. And as a result of that, the one who is being spoken about has no opportunity to defend themselves when these accusations or when these statements are made, because it's done behind their back. And they don't always know that it's going on as it happens. Talebearer, a backbiter. Also the term busybody, I think, applies. Busybody. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, we read, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." If you look up that word in the original language in the Greek, it's a compound verb. It means to work and around. To work around. In other words, it's somebody who's busy in other people's affairs. So they're working in everybody else's lives. They're more worried about what other people are doing and rather than taking care of their own problems and working in their own lives. And so this individual is one who is busy in other people's affairs, and all too often as a result of that busybody attitude in other people's matters, they speak of these things of which they learn. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters." Again, it's interesting, first of all, to note the company that that term busybody keeps here. He says a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody. This is not a small sin. We understand that all sins can cause us to be lost, but I think deep down a lot of us believe, you know, well, some sins aren't as bad as others, but the idea of being a busybody in other people's affairs, that's serious business. Literally, again, this word, if you look it up, it comes from that which belongs to another and overseer. And so what we have here is people who think that they're overseers of that which belongs to another. They're overseers of other people's lives. Overseers of other people's business. The word for overseer there is actually the word for bishop, episkopos, in the Bible. And so these people believe that they are, in effect, overseers of the lives of the people who are around them. I have heard one author describe busybodies as peeping Toms, always peeping into other people's lives and being busy in their affairs. And finally, the last word that I want to think about is the term slanderer, a slanderer. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Paul wrote, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good." The word slander actually means to accuse. And it may surprise you to know that that word for slanderer in the Greek language is diabolos, which is the name devil. So if you ever stop to think about the fact that when you accuse a brother of something, or when you're backbiting or talking about them, you're slandering them, you're literally doing the work of the devil and you're being a devil yourself. Because you're accusing, and that's what the word means. In Psalm 101 and verse 5, The psalmist writes, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy," speaking for God. Psalm 140 in verse 11 says, "Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him." God, to say that he frowns upon slander is an understatement. God says, "Let not a slanderer be established on the earth," and that he will destroy those who slander their neighbors. So what is gossip? Gossip is being a busybody in other people's affairs, telling tales about others without knowing the facts. It is telling these tales oftentimes behind their backs. It is accusing others of things without giving them the opportunity or the chance to defend themselves. There's an important note, side note that I want to make here. Well, does that mean that if we see a brother or a sister sinning, doing things that they ought not to do, does that mean that we ought to just keep our mouth shut and not do anything about it, lest we be called a gossip or a slanderer? Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17, tells us how to handle a situation when a brother or sister sins against us. And I'm not going to go into detail discussing this because it's part of my evening sermon tonight as well. But first of all, we're told to go to that brother or sister privately. We're to confirm the truthfulness or the untruthfulness of the facts as we believe them to be. And if that brother or sister is guilty of sin, then we're to encourage them to repent of that sin. If they won't repent, then we're to take one or two witnesses with us to that brother or sister, that every word may be established. Now, in that case, there's an instance where we would have to go to a person and say, "You know what, so-and-so did something, and I'm concerned about them. Would you come with me to talk to them?" Now, that would not be gossip, brother. Jesus tells us that's how we're to handle that situation. And then if there were still no repentance, even after that, it says reveal it to the church. So what we need to realize is that gossip is speaking with others or about others with no intention of helping them. It's the idea of just, you know, whispering behind the back, "You know what so-and-so did? Think about how bad this person is. And can you believe that they would do something like that?" With no intention of helping that individual. That's gossip. That's tail-bearing. That's backbiting. That's being a busybody because you're not trying to help that individual in any way. Rather, you're probably going to do great harm. So we have a definition of what gossip is, but why is gossip such a problem? Why is it such a problem? I think the simplest answer is that people enjoy it. People enjoy it. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. Solomon wrote, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body." Gossip is like an all-you-can-eat buffet with a dessert bar. Gossip is like a peanut butter and hot fudge sundae with lots of whipped cream on the top of it. People enjoy the taste of it. Why, though? Why is it so tasty? Why do people enjoy it? I can't say for sure, but let me suggest one possibility. I'm convinced that part of us likes to hear about the misdeeds or the weaknesses of others because it makes us feel better about ourselves. "Well, you know, I'm not guilty of that. I'm better than that person. I'm not that bad of a person. I would never do something like that." We have a bit of the Pharisee in us. You remember the Pharisee that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 12? Who, when he prayed to God, said, "God, boy, I thank you I'm not like other men." And then he proceeds to tell God, you know, how great he is. "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." So gossip, in a way, it strokes our egos a little bit. When we talk about other people behind their backs and talk about all the bad that they've done, boy, it really points out, "Well, I'm not as bad as they are," and it makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves. And so perhaps that's part of the reason, at least, that gossip is so popular. But gossip is a problem, and we need to be aware of it. And we need to be aware, point number three, that gossip causes great harm. It causes great harm. The passage that was read before the lesson, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Let's focus in on verses 5 to 8. James 3, 5 to 8. It says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Think of the ways that the tongue is described there. Gossip is a wildfire that is gone out of control because we do it with our tongue. We may try to put a lid on it. We may feel bad after we've spoken it and try to put a lid on it, but it has a life of its own. And it kindles often a forest fire. It's a deadly poison that can and often will ruin people's lives. Gossip can destroy friendships. Proverbs 16 and verse 28, "A perverse man sows strife. A whisperer separates the best of friends." Gossip can cause division and can cause strife within families, within the church. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." How many churches have been broken up? How many churches have been harmed so greatly because a brother or sister was a talebearer, a gossip, and began to speak things that were not true and caused division and strife among a congregation of the Lord's people? Gossip causes fierce anger. Proverbs 25 and verse 23, "The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance." And again, think about this then. When we gossip about another individual, and people, we've all probably had people gossip about us. Think about how angry that makes us. To have people saying things about you that aren't true or maybe only half true, and they've not come to talk to you about it, but they've gone to other people. And so that was a sin on their part, but then they help me to sin as well because it makes me so angry that it's happened. And I'm going to have to answer for that, but they have to realize that they're culpable as well because they are the ones who have brought upon that anger. Often, but not always, gossip spreads falsehood, things which are not true, things which have not been confirmed, and therefore the speaker doesn't know for sure that these things have actually occurred. And Paul told us in Ephesians 4 and verse 25 that we're to put away lying. And the truth of the matter is, when we gossip and we speak things that we don't know the truthfulness of or the accuracy of, we are speaking things that are not true. Gossip causes great harm. But the greatest harm that it will cause is to yourself. Because if we are a gossip, a busybody, a talebearer, a whisperer, a backbiter, it's going to cause you to be lost. You may hurt your brother or sister. You may cause division and strife. You may lose a friend and cause anger. But the greatest tragedy is that if you don't repent, you're going to lose your own soul. Look in Romans 1, 29 to 32. Here Paul is discussing the Gentiles and how they had turned their back on God. He says there regarding them being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. And then he says, they are whisperers and backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And not only those who do the same, but also those who approve of those who practice them. So there we have this again, this list of these horrible crimes and sins that people can commit. And right there, smack dab in the middle, is being a whisperer and a backbiter. And Paul concludes by saying, those who practice such things are deserving of death. But not only that, he says those who practice those things and those who approve of those who practice them. That tells me then it's not only a sin to gossip, but number two, it's a sin to listen to it. Because if I listen to the gossip, then I am putting my stamp of approval on that and enabling that person by listening to what they have to say. And so if I listen to gossip, then I'm just as guilty as the one who is speaking it. And so the final point this morning is, what about the remedy for gossip? How do we cure this problem? And brethren, it's a problem no matter where you go. It's even a problem in the Lord's church. What is the remedy? Well, like any other sin, the remedy for gossip is to repent. Stop doing it. And if someone comes to you with gossip, don't listen to it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19 says, and this is from the King James Version, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore company not with him that openeth wide the lips. Don't keep company with those who are going to be talebearers. If the gossip has no one to talk to, eventually he's going to stop gossiping because nobody will listen to him. Next time someone comes to you and says, you know what I heard? Or, well, I hate to bring this up, but did you hear about? And they begin to tell you about the downfall or the sins or the weaknesses of another person. Say something to them like, you know, that sounds like gossip to me. I can't take part in that. Or if you really want to put some fear into them, say, you know what? I really respect that person and I have a hard time believing that they would do that. Let's go and talk to them and see if that's true. They'll keep their mouth. They won't come to you anymore. Maybe you can say, you know, brother, gossip is a sin. I can't take part in that. We need to watch our tongues carefully. As I said, there are all types of sins that we can commit with our tongues, and gossip is one of them. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If our words that we are speaking to people or about people are going to tear them down rather than build them up, we need to keep our mouth shut. We need to keep quiet. Like we tell our children, if you don't have something good to say, just keep your mouth shut. There's no need to say it. And brethren, when we talk about brothers or sisters or anyone behind their back about their downfalls and weaknesses with no intention of trying to help them correct those things, that's gossip. That's sin, and it will cause you to be lost. We need to watch our tongues. We need to realize that one day we're going to give an account of every word that we uttered on earth. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Jesus said, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We need to pray as David prayed. David prayed Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. He said, Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Put a guard over my mouth. Boy, we all ought to pray that. Lord, help me to guard the words that come out of my mouth. Help me to use my tongue in a way that will uplift and encourage people and strengthen them, not in a way that will tear them down or bring shame or division or anger. Gossip is a real problem. I pray that as with all sin that may be in our lives, if that is a problem in your life, you repent of that sin. God will forgive you of the sin of gossip, as He will of any sin, if you repent and seek His forgiveness. Perhaps there are some here this morning who have not yet had their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we offer you the opportunity now at this time to obey Jesus. He told us that we need to believe in Him in order to have salvation, John 8:24. He told us that we need to repent of all the sins in our lives, Luke 13:3. He told us that we have to confess that faith in Him. And we have an example of that confession in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus also said that we have to be baptized. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned, Mark 16:16. And then we have to live faithfully thereafter. Friend, if you've not yet become a Christian, why not do that this morning? Put Christ on in baptism. Have your sins washed away. If you're a Christian who's fallen prey maybe to gossip, or maybe there's some other sin in your life that you know that needs to be corrected and that you need, maybe you need the prayers of the church to have the strength to overcome this sin in your life, we'll be glad to help you in any way that we can. Please come as we stand and sing.